right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15, if you would please stand. I'll begin reading at verse 1. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. And he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, by setting up his son after him, and by establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him in all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa his son reigned in his place. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. And he banished the perverted persons from the land, and removed all the idols that his father had made. And he removed Micaiah, his grandmother, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the brook Kedron. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. The last thing that anyone expected from Edward VI was a reformation of religion in England. Edward was only 9 years old when he took the throne of that land. The boy's father was Henry VIII. Henry VIII had broken with the Pope of Rome, but this was more for personal and political reasons than out of a sincere desire to follow a biblical pattern for the church. Henry's failure to obey the scripture is especially evident from his disastrous family life. Henry had 6 wives and was unfaithful to each one of them. It was against expectation then that his son, Edward VI, advanced the Reformation in England. During Edward's short reign as king, an English Bible was placed in every parish church so that people could hear and understand the Word of God. Sermons were to be preached in English every Sunday by order of the king. For priests who did not know how to preach, the church provided a book of homilies which included a sermon that began with the basic doctrine of the Reformation, and I quote, "The first entry into God, good Christian people, is through faith, whereby we are justified before God." Lay people were allowed to join their priest in receiving the full sacrament of the Lord's Supper, both the bread and the wine. People were discouraged from praying to the saints, and images of Mary were removed from the church, lest they become objects of worship. As a result of these and many other reforms, by 1553, the English Reformation was complete. Since Edward was so young, these reforms were partly due to the influence of Thomas Cranmer and other advisors, but they represented the convictions of Edward's own heart. When the boy died at the tender age of 15, his dying prayer was that the Lord God would defend his realm from false worship and maintain true religion in England. From a line of unworthy rulers, God raised up a king after his own heart. A king that led the way in Reformation. Reformation is not what we would expect from Asa. But Reformation is exactly what took place in the southern kingdom during his reign. Asa followed to the throne Abijam. Abijam was the son of Rehoboam. And you might remember that Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Solomon's heart, you remember, was led astray by the foreign wives that he married, and Solomon, in order to appease them, built places for them in which they could worship their foreign gods, their false gods. Eventually, these foreign wives turned Solomon's heart so that he himself worshiped these gods. But as we read of Solomon's reign and of his idolatry, of his family idolatry, we do not read that that idolatry spread to the rest of Judah and Israel. After the kingdom was split and his son Rehoboam became the king of Judah, he continued the idolatrous practices of his father Solomon. But we learn in relationship to Rehoboam that idolatry increased in the southern kingdom during his reign. We read in relationship to the king and to the idolatry that was practiced in Judah that wooden images were on every high hill and under every green tree. So rather than doing away with idolatrous worship increased during the reign of Rehoboam. Abijam then comes along and follows in the footsteps of his father. His reign was going to be rather short, whereas his father's reign was rather lengthy. Rehoboam reigned 17 years, and Abijam reigned only 3 years. His mother's name, we are told, is Micaiah, the daughter of Abishalom. Now, when you read the parallel account of Abijam in 2 Chronicles chapter 13 and 14, you learn that Abijam's name was also Abijah. You will learn that Micaiah's name was also, Micaiah, is Micaiah in 2 Chronicles. Abishalom, we learn, is Absalom, the rebellious son of David. And we saw in our reading this afternoon, the Micaiah was not a godly woman, that she was a worshiper of an idol. And Asa was going to have to deal with his mother and her idolatry, and he did. But we read in relationship to Abijam that he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him. Now, what we see in the life of Abijam is that he did those things that his father did. His father was an idolater, his grandfather was an idolater, and now he is an idolater. What you have in his case is like father, like son. He adopted the practices of his father and his grandfather. And oftentimes we find that is what children do. Children follow the example of their parents. Now, sometimes children will say, as they are growing up, and as they see perhaps the weaknesses of their parents, that they are not going to grow up and treat their children like that, like they have been treated, or they're not going to do what their parents have done. However, when they grow older, they find that they have become exactly, in many ways, like their parents. And the things that they said they wouldn't do, they're doing. And the acts that they said they wouldn't be involved in, those are the things that they do as well. It's kind of like the woman who looked in the mirror and said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all." That happens. And oftentimes what our children pick up from us are not the things that we try to teach them verbally as we deal with them, but they pick up those things that we do before them. They learn not so much from what we say, but they learn from the things that we do. And that is what happened to this king, who followed his grandfather and his father to the throne of Judah. He sinned in the ways that his father had sinned. Now, that's not to say that Rehoboam was entirely bad. He wasn't a good king, but that doesn't mean that he never ever did anything right. We do learn that after the kingdom split, that after it was divided in two, that Rehoboam had designs on taking the 10 tribes back to himself. You remember he gathered 180,000 men, and he was going to lead them into the northern territory and by force bring the north back. He was going to reunite the kingdom. However, God sent a prophet to him and told him not to do that. Well, you would expect Rehoboam, being the idolatrous man that he was, that he'd pay no attention to the true prophet of God and act contrary to what the prophet said. However, we find that Rehoboam did what the prophet told him to do. He refrained from attacking the northern kingdom. Well, it seems as though his son didn't pick up the good things that he did, but he did pick up the bad things that he did. He followed all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. In other words, he followed his father's example. This is one reason why it is so important for us as parents to set a good example of consistency and godliness before our children. Because we know that in some way, perhaps in many ways, they're going to follow our example. And better that we set an example of godliness before them rather than an example of ungodliness and of sin. Better that we walk consistently with the Lord our God than to walk haphazardly with the Lord our God. Better that they should follow the example of our godliness than follow an example of sinfulness and of ungodliness and of little concern for the things of God and for little concern in relationship to His Word. Now it says in verse 3 that his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. In other words, he had a divided heart. And so all the blame for Abijam's sin cannot be blamed just on the poor example of his father. He has to take responsibility for his actions himself. And while God knows his father's weaknesses and the poor example that his father set, he also knows the heart of Abijam. And God knows that Abijam's heart was the source of his problem. Wasn't just the example of his father, and sin and weakness and ungodliness cannot just be blamed on the sin and the weaknesses and ungodliness, perhaps, of our parents if we grew up in a non-Christian home. We also have to consider our own hearts. And we know from Scripture that our own hearts are desperately sick and are wicked. This man, Abijam's heart, was not loyal to the Lord his God. Rather, he had a divided heart. He was somewhat loyal in some ways to the Lord, but not as nearly as loyal as he should have been. It is though he had two loves, perhaps, we might say. He partly loved the Lord, but he partly loved other things as much, if not more, than the Lord. And a divided heart is something that we need to be on guard for in our own lives. Because it is so easy, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It's easy to do that. It's easy to become loyal to other people and to other things rather than to remain loyal to God and His revealed will. One of the issues that I have, and we talked about this not long ago, is an issue that came up in relationship to our General Assembly several years ago. And I happened to be present at General Assembly when we had this discussion. There were many Freemasons in the PCA at that time. It was recognized by the General Assembly in a paper that was done by those who were appointed to look into this matter, that Freemasonry was, in their view, another religion. And so they encouraged men who were involved in that to disassociate themselves from it. And they said that from that point on, no one could be an officer in the church who was a Freemason. Now, one of the problems that they addressed is a problem that I also observed in relationship to the Freemasons that I knew, and that was this. Their loyalty was often more to their lodge than it was to the church. They would say that it wasn't, but if you watched them, if you listened to them, if you paid attention to what was really important to them, you would find out rather quickly that what was important to them was the lodge. And what was important to them was what the lodge did. And they involved themselves more in the activities of the lodge than they did of the church. Why? Because they weren't completely loyal to the Lord their God. It was more important for them to be with their brothers in Freemasonry than it was to be with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Their loyalties were divided. But that's not only a problem for Freemasons. That's a problem for all of us. It's a problem sometimes that you young people have to address, particularly when you get interested in another person of the opposite sex. You have to be very careful that your heart does not become more loyal to that person than it is to Christ. That you don't love that other person more than you love Christ. And so you have to be on guard for that. But we who are already married have to be on guard in relationship to possessions. There are times that we think that we would like to have more than we do. That our lives would be happier and they would be fuller if we had the things that other people have and possess. And if we aren't real careful, we can develop a spirit of discontentment and a spirit of anxiety in relationship to those things. Why? Because suddenly those things have become something we are preoccupied with, and we have a heart that is divided between wanting those things and being discontent with what we have, and wanting God and being content with the things that He has chosen to give us. So there are a lot of different ways that our hearts can become divided. And we have to be on guard against that and knowledgeable in relationship to it, so that we don't have a divided heart. Now, even though Abijam had a divided heart and walked in the sins of his father, it says, nevertheless, for the sake of the Lord his God, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem. That is, he wasn't going to remove his son from becoming the next king in Judah. He could have done that, and he would have been right to have done that, but he wasn't going to. And the reason for that mercy was because of David. It wasn't because of Abijam. David did, it says in verse 5, what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Now that almost sounds like, in David's life, he was perfectly obedient to the will of God. But then there's the except. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. God had not forgotten what David had done. God had not forgotten his adultery with Bathsheba, and as a result of that adultery, the death of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. But on the whole, David did what was right in the sight of God, and as I mentioned in the past, even when he sinned in such grievous ways as he did, David eventually confessed and repented of those sins, and we never find any repentance, any confession from Abijam. He goes on to say in verse 6 that there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life, and the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? There was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. Again, you would think, here we go again. Like father, like son, the same things going to happen all over again. But it doesn't. Why? Well, because God graciously intervened in Asa's life. And that is an encouragement to us, I am sure, because, for example, as parents, we're all aware of our weaknesses. We're aware of the things that we should have done with our children that we didn't do. We're aware of the things that we should not have done that we did do. We know that our example has not always been as it should have been, and so we are afraid that perhaps our children will pick up our bad example and follow our bad habits. However, we must never forget the gracious intervention of God in the lives of our children. So even if the example we set before them was as bad as it possibly could have been, that does not mean that God cannot work sovereignly and graciously in that child's life to bring them to a faithful knowledge of Him and a trust in Him and a desire to serve God and to please God. And so what Rehoboam failed to do, what Abijam failed to do, Asa was going to do. He was going to do the right thing in terms of all this idolatrous worship that was taking place in the southern kingdom. What did he do? He was going to tear down the idols, including the specific idol of his own mother. And he was going to depose her as queen mother. Why? Because here was a man who loved the Lord his God and who wanted to please and serve him. And he loved God even more than his own mother. Well, that's tough. But that's what God calls us to do as well. Jesus tells us very clearly in the Gospels that our love for Him should outstrip and outdistance all other loves that we might have in our lives. That we shouldn't, even with our parents, and as much as we love our parents, we shouldn't love our parents more than we love Him. So that if there comes a point where we have to make a choice between God and our parents, that we choose our parents rather than God. God would have us choose Him and not them. Honor them, yes. But at times, if necessary, because of circumstances and sin, we need to break from them, then that must be what we do in order to follow the Lord our God more fully. And so Asa was going to be the man, the first of a handful that God was going to use in the southern kingdom to bring about reformation in their religious practices. And that reformation was going to be pleasing and was pleasing in the sight of God. And so never forget the grace of God and the intervention, the gracious intervention of God in the lives of those who follow after those who have set a bad example before them. No case is ever hopeless. Not with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of these two kings. One whose heart was loyal to You, one whose heart was not. We know that it is only because of Your grace that Asa was any different than his father Abijam. And Father, we thank You that Your grace has made the difference in our lives. We thank You that You chose us to be in Christ before the foundation of the world. We thank You that by Your Holy Spirit, You have given us spiritual life. You made us alive in Christ. We thank You that You have given to us the gift of faith and repentance. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that having been given those gifts and the gift of Your Holy Spirit, we pray, Father, that You would help us to walk humbly before You and help us to walk in obedience, knowing, Father, that we set an example, either for good or for bad to all those who follow after us. Help us, Father, to set a good and godly example. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.